To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Victory and defeat. These are two concepts that we all know too well. In any fair competition, there will always be losers, but there can only ever be one winner. Last week, our school experienced both out on the court. In our text for this morning, we will be reading about a certain competition that took place in the Judean wilderness. On one side, we have Satan seemingly possessing the home field advantage in this sin-broken world. He's ready to use every trick up his sleeve in order to put a stop to man's salvation. And on the other side, we have the visiting team, composed of a single man possessing such a physical disadvantage that one might call him the underdog in this scenario. And that man is the starving, lonely Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Then the devil was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is the word of God, dear fellow redeemed. To set the stage for this epic showdown, we need to understand why this account is so important. Well, the rivalry between God and the devil goes back thousands of years, all the way back to the time when Satan first defeated a different opponent, man. In causing Adam and Eve, our first parents, to sin, Satan defiled the once perfect state of our creation, plunging all of mankind into a state of defeat. He accomplished this by a certain strategy that he uses today called temptation. He used it then in the garden. He uses it in our text for this morning to tempt Jesus. And he even uses it on you and me. Now, like Satan, we too have become defeated on the opposing team, rebelling against God and always choosing the path of evil. The scary part is, we do it again and again willingly. Satan's tactic that he uses is so simple, one might want to call it brilliant. His goal is always to cause the victim to question the authority and righteous rule of God. He does this by appealing to human pride. When he tempted Eve, he asked her, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" This led Eve to question God's clear command. Satan continued, "When you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God." Wow, to be like God. Having his power, his authority, his ability to command and demand obedience. The ruler of everything. To be one's own God. Sound familiar? We see people in the world around us pursuing this very thing, this very fantasy. Satan has not ceased to use this temptation method on us even now. We too struggle with this. How often do you find yourself asking, "Do I really have to listen to my parents? I should be able to do whatever I want. Why can't I live with my girlfriend or boyfriend before marriage? I'm my own person. Why would I ever believe the words of some dusty old book? I can live by my own rules." And so we question the authority of the only one who has established right from wrong, good from evil, and we instead look to ourselves to decide. What a terrifying way to live. John writes, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." This morning's section of scripture takes place immediately after Jesus is baptized by John in the Jordan River and revealed to be the Son of God by the Father himself. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. As the tempting match begins, Satan takes the offensive and capitalizes on that revelation in this first temptation. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. If you are the Son of God, he says, questioning the very authority that Jesus is who the Father says he is. He further undermines the Father's authority by tempting him to create food for himself in a supernatural way and disobey God. Now remember, Jesus is in an extremely weak state, enduring 40 days without food in the wilderness. This was by the command of the Father so that Christ's glory may be manifested in enduring these temptations, these tests from the devil. How often are you and I tempted to disobey God when things become difficult for us? Having to choose between what is right and what is easy. If it were me in that near-death state of starvation, I know I'd want to take that loaf of bread in a heartbeat. Such is our sinful flesh. But God's word declares that this behavior condemns us and renders us defeated to sin, lost to hell forever, estranged from God. But this would be our permanent state if Christ hadn't overcome this temptation. Christ doesn't think of himself in this dire moment of need. Rather, his thoughts are only centered on one thing, you and me. The prize of this competition. The defeated sinners who repeatedly rebel against him time and time again, his thoughts were entirely selfless. Only Jesus could live a perfect life in our place to win salvation for us. This temptation was just one of many that he would face and conquer on his road to completion. Full of love and compassion for us in his mind, Jesus defeated Satan in round one of this epic matchup, proving himself to be the true Son of God by using the one tool that he provides for you and me as well, the Word of God. But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus did not exhibit his glory in performing a miracle, but rather he exhibited it in displaying trust and preserving the word of his Father. Jesus, through this and every temptation, accomplished what we never could. He remained perfect in every way, fulfilling his obedience as our substitute, all the way to his death on the cross. In doing so, he became the champion by winning the ultimate victory over Satan, crushing his head, and ending death's hold over us. While we were formerly known as defeated and lost sinners on the losing side, Jesus has also made us champions with him, taking all our sins away and forgiving us completely. Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, as redeemed saints, we walk by faith, able to follow his will by his strength and word, overcome the temptations that face us. Thanks be to God, who became the champion for us, that we too, as champions, may share in the glory of our eternal victory with him forever. We are no longer on the defeated side. We are champions through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We now close in singing hymn 134, verse 2.